is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Good evening, Cougar Nation. Welcome in to Cougar Nation. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. No Matt Biamonte this week. He's holding it down on a volleyball call for UVU. So riding solo this week, I'll also have Nate Slack in studio at Broadcast House, our producer from Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Nation. He'll be joining me as well. I'm in Provo right now. Just got done with Media Madness, BYU basketball. Yes, the media went through a 5-on-5 game at the Marriott Center. It was quite the spectacle. Sadly, Matt Biamonte's team, Team White, came out victorious. I was on Team Blue. Team White comes out on top 28-25. Team Blue jumped out to a 10-2 start, and I was a part of that. I had 5 points quick. Mark Pope, I think, was ready to give me the final scholarship on his team after I buried those two shots, but faded away down the stretch. We even had on Team Blue, we had a ringer. We had Cosmo on our team. Still wasn't enough as Team White pulls away and gets it done. But I'm back in the saddle here in Cougar Nation talking BYU football. As the Cougars are back from a bye week, we'll discuss all the news and notes this week. And also, as always, we're taking your calls. 575-8255. That's 575-8255-TALK. Or you can text BYU to 57500. Share your thoughts and also get BYU updates as well. It's time to get to our takeaways here on Cougar Nation.
Cougar Nation takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
A little bit different twist on takeaways this week, as there was no game from the past weekend as BYU had a bye. So this week we're taking a look at just takeaways on this BYU football team to this point. And keep in mind, too, I want you, Cougar Nation, to think about our question of the day as well. What will BYU's record be in the final seven games of the season? Is it going to be 7-0? Is it going to be 0-7? Is it 5-2, 3-4? Get ready for your takes throughout the show. But the takeaways to this point is BYU, through the first five, is 4-1 on the season, 1-1 in Big 12 play. Takeaway number one, and this isn't a statistic, but it's something I feel is a big step in the right direction for this BYU football program. I believe this BYU team is not going to quit at any point this season. And to me, that's noteworthy, because last year there were stretches where I do felt like the team did quit. Not the guys that are on the team now. I think that they were bought in. But even Connor Pabe in the spring noted that players that maybe folded to the adversity, they're no longer with the team. I think this is a resilient bunch. I've learned that about this BYU team. You don't win the games that BYU has won and the manner in which they've won unless you're resilient. You don't win a ball game often at BYU when you're minus 200 in total yards against the opponent. They did that against Cincinnati. You don't win many games in SEC country without being resilient. That was this BYU team on the road at Arkansas. I like the makeup of this group. I think there's a good vibe with this team. And again, it's not a stat you can measure, but the feel of this team, I feel like they're going to get better. Because honestly, through the first month of the season, I haven't been blown away by how BYU's performed. I'm just impressed by the fact that they're winning ball games. And I never thought it was unreasonable to think BYU could have started 5-0. There was a media member after the Cincinnati game that I overheard in the distance, was talking to another media member, and he said, "Who would have thought that BYU would have the same record through five games as Utah?" And I thought to myself, that's not that unimaginable, because BYU has not played the greatest schedule to this point. But also, let's not act like BYU is a bad football team. They're a good football team. BYU's the eighth winningest program over the last 50 years. This isn't like a program that isn't used to winning ball games. And I feel like BYU is definitely going to find ways to get more wins. I believe this team's going to go bowling. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And I think a lot of that, again, is because of my takeaway number one. This team at no point is going to quit. They're not going to. They are a team that can handle adversity, which is something they wanted done coming out of last season, because last year a lot of adversity hit. BYU didn't respond well. This group's different. Takeaway number two, the health is trending up for BYU. Last week on the KSL Sports Zone, BYU linebacker Ben Bywater told DJ and PK that he's going to play against TCU. I did ask Kalani Sitake today in his press conference if Kalani's expecting Ben Bywater to play like Ben is, and Kalani kind of kept it coy, and I think he said, paraphrasing here, he said something to the effect of, today is today and tomorrow's tomorrow. We'll continue to evaluate. To Kalani's credit, that is right. But there's still going to be an evaluation period. But I think that the retooling of the strength and conditioning staff, it's shown to have some paid off some dividends here, because typically you get to October and you're looking around and go, who's left standing around BYU? That's not the case this year. BYU's in a pretty good spot. Now, you got to get Waylon Lopuaho back. You got to get Ben Bywater back. You need to get Aiden Robbins back. And we haven't talked about him at all this season. But once you get him back, I think that's a nice 1-2 tandem between him and LJ Martin in that backfield. So, but again, your defensive line, your secondary, outside of the rash of injuries that happened in fall camp, you're doing all right. And I think also, too, that next man up mentality has been incorporated into the program. It's no longer, woe is me, how do we respond? Because I remember a couple years ago when they lost Keenan Peely after it was the win over Arizona State, he blew out his ACL. The defense just was rattled completely, and they looked nothing like they had looked the first 3 weeks of the season with Keenan Peely. Jay Hill has not worried about injuries. I mean, against Cincinnati, you had three linebackers without Ben Bywater that get double-digit tackles. You don't have Micah Harper. You don't have Talon Alfrey. You're still performing and producing at the safety position. There's optimism that, you know, Talon Alfrey could be coming back very soon. I know a couple weeks ago, Jay Hill envisioned this TCU week being the spot that Alfrey could be back. They expect Isaiah Glasker, backup linebacker, to be available. Siali Acero, true freshman from Tempview, he's also available now. He suited up 2 weeks ago. So health is in a good spot for this team, and that's nice, because typically this BYU program has dealt with bye weeks in mid-November, and you think, season's almost done. What's the point of this bye? This was one of the earliest bye weeks that I can remember since the Mountain West days for BYU. I had to go back and think about 2008 was the last time I remember BYU having this early of a bye week. So that came at a good spot for this team as they have their health trending up. And takeaway number three, I do ask myself, is this success for BYU to open the season a byproduct of the schedule? And let me bring in our producer, Nate Slack. Again, Matt Biamonte out this week. He'll be back next week. Producer Nate, what say you? How much of BYU's success through these first five games has been a byproduct of maybe the strength of schedule? Because ESPN FPI says they played the 83rd ranked schedule to this point. You buy in that? You think it's just a byproduct of the week schedule this far?
You know, if there's anybody who does not believe ESPN FPI, it's probably me.
Ooh, okay.
So back in 2017, ESPN FPI had BYU going 9-4. So obviously that didn't turn out to be, but I really don't think it's a byproduct of a week schedule. I think the team, I hate to bring up Utah, but I'm going to. Seeing Utah over the last few years open up against a Weber State, and they always start out a little bit slow. Mm-hmm. They'll end the first quarter down 7-3 or 10-0 or whatever. And I think BYU kind of had the same mindset entering this season, where they're able to kind of ease their way into things instead of having to play a P5 team right out of the gates. I have a hard time saying that BYU's had an easy schedule. And through the back seven games, I don't think that the schedule is as tough as it looked going into the season. I think Oklahoma State is looking better. Iowa State's looking better. But TCU's not the team that made it to the championship last year. And I think there's going to be opportunities for BYU to surprise fans and viewers still going forward, even though they're 4-1 currently.
I think the question, too, with the strength of schedule is a byproduct of the teams that BYU has beat. Those four, there's been a total of six wins. Now, look, the nice thing about BYU in this situation that they're in, when you talk about achieving your goals, it don't matter how bad these teams that BYU has beat are. Because at the end of the day, take care of your business, and you're going to be rewarded with a special bowl game to the likes of which you've never had. And so I'm not worried about that. I just kind of wonder, will it sustain itself in these last seven games? Because I'll be honest with you, Nate, I kind of disagree a little bit on the next seven games. I think this is one of the toughest seven-game stretches I've ever seen BYU face. And it's not because it's a murderer's row of just world beaters. It's a bunch of 50-50 games. But I think it's that component right there. Because typically, we're so wired when it comes to BYU schedules where there's about five to six games where you go, that's an automatic win. Now it becomes, you know, split these four games or so, take care of the games you're supposed to, you're going to get a 9-10 win season. I just don't know what's the guaranteed win in the remaining seven, and have we learned enough through these first five against a schedule of opponents that haven't won many games? Does it lead us to believe that BYU can still win at a high level in these next 2 months?
Yeah, no, it's a great question to have, and I think BYU is going to have chances, especially at home against Texas Tech. That's a game that I look at, and I think BYU can win that one probably convincingly. I think with Tyler Shutt going down with an injury, that helps BYU more. Feel the same way about Iowa State. Oklahoma is going to be tough, but I think there's going to be opportunities for BYU to at least hit six wins.
Let's keep talking about this schedule, because there's some interesting stats about the strength of the back half of the schedule. We'll hit on that next. It's Cougar Nation. It's brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. Taking your calls, 801-575-8255. Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation.
A 75-yard touchdown run down the far sideline.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, for KSLSports.com. Hey, if you ever miss any part of this show, subscribe to the podcast on the KSL Sports app and all podcasting platforms. Just search Cougar Nation. We're available wherever you get your podcast. Mitch Harper, Nate Slack sitting in for Matt Biamonte this week. Matt had some previous priors to attend to. He was at the BYU basketball media madness a little bit earlier. It was a fun time. He buried this long distance 3-2. Looked at me. I was on the bench at the time. Coach Trevenel's like, you got to get back at him, man. And I said, I will, coach. I didn't, though. I let coach down. I let the team down. Hey, BYU football not letting down the fans. And Cougar Nation, lock in your phone calls, 801-575-8255. I want to hear what you think is going to be the record for this BYU football team in the remaining seven games, because I think it's a fair question to ask, because, and I know our producer Nate Slack is not a fan of the ESPN FPI, but they have quite the stat about the remaining schedule thus going forward for BYU. ESPN FPI says BYU has the third most difficult schedule remaining in all of college football the rest of the way. Third, behind only Michigan State and USC. Yikes. How many wins can BYU get out of that? It's interesting, too. The ESPN FPI forecast only one win for BYU, and that's against Iowa State, where they have a 51% chance to win the game. So it's going to be tough. You look at the schedule, too, for BYU. At TCU this Saturday, we'll have extended pregame live from Fort Worth coming up this Saturday to get you ready for the Cougars and the Horned Frog. First visit back to TCU at Fort Worth since 2010. Then you got Texas Tech, which got a kickoff time earlier today. I was pleasantly surprised, too, about this kickoff time. It's not going to be Big 12 after dark. It's actually Big 12 primetime. It's going to be a 5 o'clock kick on October 21st against Texas Tech in Provo. Then on October 28th, to close out the month, you go at Texas, which ESPN FPI gives BYU a 5% chance of winning. Then at West Virginia, November 4th, Iowa State at home, who's been, you know, had a nice win over this TCU team BYU is going to face this week. Oklahoma on Senior Day, who had one heck of a performance in the Red River Rivalry this weekend. And then at Oklahoma State, who defended the defending Big 12 champion Kansas State in their first Friday game since 1956. I was blown away by that, Nate. I couldn't believe my ears when I heard a team hasn't played a Friday night game since 1956. I'm thinking, BYU does this every single year and a couple times a year. We're kind of stunned that there's only one Friday night game this year. But what are you thinking, Nate? How many games does BYU win in these last seven?
This morning I was thinking 5-2, which is probably a little lofty. I'm going to go 4-3. I still think BYU has a good chance to win the home games. I feel good about the Oklahoma game, surprising enough. I don't think BYU is going to perform very well against Texas. I just think it's a bad matchup. And going on the road in Austin, the place is going to be rocking. I feel like the fans are still going to be thinking about the 2013 and 2014 games and want their payback. So I think those games are going to be rough. But I think BYU still is going to be able to come out 4-3 at the end of these seven games.
I would love that if they did, because look, I'm not downselling BYU's abilities, because I think that's definitely attainable. I'm just curious to see how this week in, week out grind actually plays out, because I feel like now rubber meets the road for BYU finally in the Big 12, because these are all legacy members. And keep in mind, too, none of the Big 12 newcomers yet have defeated any of the Big 12 legacy teams that were part of the league over the last decade or plus, you know, counting TCU, West Virginia as well. But legacy members dating back to 1996, there's none of these newcomers have won. I mean, UCF right now, 0-3. Houston, 0-2. Cincinnati, who BYU defeated, 0-2. So it's been tough sledding for these newcomers thus far. I do think one thing about BYU, though, that I've loved about this team this year, I think Keenan Slovis has played very well. He's still got room to grow, but I feel like they've been opportunistic, Nate. I feel like whenever this team has a window of momentum, they seize the opportunity. And we'll talk about TC a little bit more in depth in the next segment here on Cougar Nation. But I just feel like when given a chance to capture a game, they got to take advantage of that. The margins are so thin. We talk about it every week. But I just feel like they have to take care of the football. And they've also got to create those takeaways. I think what happened a couple weeks ago against Cincinnati, where Jacob Robinson's coming up with a pick six, that has to happen more often than not. You can't expect a pick six every week, but dang it, you got to have every other game maybe something like that, or an easy touchdown setup like a muff punt that the long snapper recovers. You got to have things like that go your way if you want to get to, you know, that record that you were saying, where you're talking about maybe an 8-9 win season this year. And look, outside of Texas and Oklahoma, Nate, this Big 12, no one wants to be one of the top teams. Anything can happen on any given week. If Kansas is the third best team, and look, I do think they're near the top. I'm bought into them. But BYU was right there with them. If that's the third best team, maybe there is more of an argument to be made that BYU could be an 8-9 win team.
Yeah, back to what you were saying about the Cincinnati game. I think BYU, if they can take care of the football the way they did last year, the last two seasons, really, and last week, I think they're going to have a really good chance to win more games going forward. The Kansas game is always going to sting because I was there. I was in the stands. It was a little bit of an underwhelming atmosphere, but it was a fun game to be at. But it was frustrating to see BYU give the ball twice for scores, which they don't do. And to see it cost them the game was frustrating. And I think if they can limit that going forward, they'll have a good shot to win a good number of games.
I'm really intrigued to see if the ground game takes off at any point this season. Right now, yeah. BYU is 129th nationally, and that's an area where I feel like they have to improve going forward. I mean, I asked Kalani today about that, and I think he was – I think he kind of interpreted it wrong, my question. It wasn't – I didn't care where they finish nationally in the rushing standings. I mean, if they're 129th in rush offense – and they're a 9-win football team, no one cares. I mean, that doesn't matter. But I think that when you're forecasting these next seven games, you ask yourself, can they continue to win where they're at a deficit by 200 yards, or where they're at these kind of unconventional ways to win games like they did against Arkansas? does that lend itself to week after week success in this Big 12, where no one's that great outside of Texas and Oklahoma, but everyone's good enough to maybe take you down? I mean, think about this too, Nate. West Virginia's maybe they're undefeated right now, 2-0 in the league.
That's crazy.
And they're viewed as a team that's only a 2-point favorite against Houston, so it's a wild league. We got to take a timeout. We'll talk more about TCU. News, traffic, and weather next. It's Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation.
Touchdown. Cougars take the lead.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to Cougar Nation. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Typically, Matt Biamonte is with me. He is out this week, but he will be back next Monday night, and he will also be with me on the extended pregame this Saturday, BYU versus TCU, 11 a.m. We'll get it started from Fort Worth as the Cougars take on the Horned Frogs, an old Mountain West WAC rivalry renewed, now as members of the Big 12 Conference. And TCU comes into this game reeling. Think about this, 9 months ago today, January 9th of this year, TCU was lining it up against Georgia for a national title. They got wrecked in that game, 65-7. But since then, you thought still that they were going to have a big year this year. The schedule set up nicely for them to jump out of the gates quick. They're now 3-3. They've lost two in a row, and they lost two games to Iowa State and West Virginia. A lot of questions about TCU, and to make matters worse, their starting quarterback, Chandler Morris, reportedly out with an knee injury sustained last week against Iowa State. So Josh Hoover, he's going to get the start, a redshirt freshman, 11 of 19 for 119 yards in the loss to Iowa State. His lone touchdown was kind of late in the game, but otherwise he had an interception, had a fumble, kind of a tough spot for him to be in. Now, keep in mind, historically, I know you're probably thinking, Cougar fans, uh-oh, backup quarterback, sound the alarm, BYU's going to have struggles. Look, there is a case of that, even in TCU series. Remember, it was 2005, the first year TCU was back in the Mountain West Conference. Ty Gunn, I think, was their quarterback. He goes down, and then Jeff Ballard, who became a TCU great, he stepped in and scorched BYU's defense. It was a 51-50 game in OT. I still believe that was a fumble at the goal line when Corey Rogers lost that ball. But nonetheless, backup quarterbacks have sometimes gotten the best of BYU. But the Cougars have a full week to get ready for Josh Hoover, so it's not going to come as a surprise. And they also got to see him in action last Saturday while BYU was enjoying the bye weekend. BYU had players out of town and just kind of enjoying the weekend, but many of which still watch that TCU game against Iowa State and the Horned Frogs struggle. The thing is, too, with TCU, despite the mediocre record at 3-3, struggling out of the gates at 1-2 in Big 12 play, this team still has speed, particularly in the secondary and at running back. Their star running back, Armani Bailey, number 4 nationally in rush yards at 690 this season. He's averaging 121 yards per game for TCU. By comparison, BYU as a team is averaging 62.8 yards per game on the ground per game. So Bailey, one of the best running backs in college football and, of course, in the Big 12 Conference as a byproduct. So this is a big game for BYU. It's a winnable game. The early indications for this one seem to suggest that TCU is the favorite in this one. But I do think that BYU has more than enough ability to go win this game. I think it's going to be fun, too, to see the dynamic in the stands, because this is a series unlike, say, Kansas, Cincinnati. There's some actual history to these two programs. You know, I noted it with the Mountain West and the WAC. You know, when the old Southwest Conference dissolved, TCU was brought into that 16-team WAC iteration, and those two schools, BYU and TCU, battled it out for a few years. TCU was left in Conference USA after the the Mountain West was formed, but then they eventually joined in 2005. And you think about from 2005 to 2009, those were some epic battles between BYU and TCU, to the point where Gary Patterson was having his team focus entire off seasons on BYU. It was leading up to the 2008 season. They had helmets on the tackling dummies for their practices with BYU helmets. That's how much at that time the BYU game meant to TCU. Things change, and you think about college students today, they don't know that stuff. I mean, that was 13 years ago, the last time BYU and TCU were conference foes. They did play once while BYU was an independent. Remember, that one was in Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium, and it was the game where J.D. Falslev had a punt return TD. It was also the game where Riley Nelson, he high-fived the ref, and I think it's still a gift today on social media. But BYU hasn't beat the Horned Frogs since 2007. They haven't won in Fort Worth since 2006. Now, I don't think any of that history has any meaning on this Saturday's game on Saturday afternoon. But I will say, I think it's just nice to have that piece to a matchup, because that's been lacking for so long for BYU, having a annual or historical element to the games that BYU plays in a given season. Outside of Utah, Boise State, Utah State, that just hasn't been a thing for BYU football as they navigated independent waters. And that's going to be the fun thing about years to come in the Big 12, is that they're going to gain that annual rapport and those matchups and the history. It's going to fuel itself, and it's going to become a lot of fun. But this TCU team is beatable. And I think if BYU can stop the ground and force Josh Hoover to throw, I think BYU wins this ball game. You know, I'm feeling pretty good about BYU winning this game, and I think they got the decisive edge at quarterback. And I think also, too, BYU, I believe, has an edge in the trenches. TCU, historically, has always had good defensive lines. You got Jerry Hughes back in the day. But I feel like BYU could take advantage there, and they should. BYU improved a lot in that Cincinnati game along the offensive line. There's optimism that Waylon Lapuaho could be back this week against TCU. We shall see what happens with him at left guard. But I think that that's an area where BYU has to win. If they do, I think they can win this ball game. I think TCU's got a sizable edge potentially in the secondary. And I say that because Arkansas and Kansas gave BYU a lot of headaches in their receivers. BYU couldn't create separation against those two teams. You look at TCU, they got a guy named Bud Clark, one of the few carryovers from the Gary Patterson era. He's a standout in that secondary. They got a lot of athleticism, a lot of speed, some playmakers there too. You think about how Tech, Kansas, and Arkansas gave BYU some headaches in that regard. Can BYU and their receivers create separation? That's going to be a challenge against TCU's secondary, but I think it's a toss-up matchup. It's one where you're probably, if you give an edge to TCU, it's only because they're playing on their home turf, and maybe a slight advantage too because it is a day game. We talked to Isaac Rex last week, and he even noted it's becoming a little bit of a stigma, this whole day game thing for BYU. I want to bring in producer Nate Slack into the studio with me. He's in broadcast house. I'm in Provo after I got done with Media Madness for BYU basketball. Nate, I know you've been tracking this whole day and night thing. I think you were kind of one of the OGs that caught on to this whole stat. What are the numbers, if you've got them handy, or what's kind of been the trends you've noticed with day and night games for BYU as of late?
Yeah, I'm pulling up the numbers as we speak, but it's been pretty clear that BYU struggles more in the day than they do at night. And so I know people tend to think, oh, it's just a fluke. BYU's playing bigger teams during the day, and they have played some big names during the day. They played Washington a couple of times. They played Oregon. They did beat USC, and they beat Wisconsin during the day, but they've also dropped games to San Diego State. They dropped a game to Toledo. They dropped South Florida, Hawaii, Coastal Carolina. So
Liberty.
Tons of games where they just haven't performed, and not even just performed, but they haven't really shown up. And so I don't know if it's just the team is so used to the independent schedule, and the back half especially, where – they're not playing big names, and ESPN wants to have that late time slot where they just get in the flow and they feel really comfortable with the late night games, and they don't have that same type of schedule for the earlier games. I don't know if that's the case, but there seems to be at least something that there's just not a whole lot of success if games are kicked off before 6.
Nate, I know you're still working on getting those official stats. Let's take a break. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning, bluebarnwealth.com. We'll get to those numbers on the other side and then take some of your phone calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us, 57500. It's Cougar Nation. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.
Cougar Nation.
The Cougars picked it off!
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, every single Monday night during the football season, 6 to 7 here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars, and it's always brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. We appreciate them being on board with Cougar Nation this football season. We teased it in the previous segment. Producer Nate Slack's been tracking the success between day and night. It's like Kid Cudi, day and night. I see. BYU just can't seem to win in the daytime. At least, well, they actually have a winning record, but it's more of a toss-up rather than clear-cut success. Just lay out the numbers, Nate Slack, of what you've seen from BYU since 2019.
In games that kick off before 6 p.m. So I draw the line at 6 p.m. I feel like that's when the sun starts to go down in the fall. Anyways.
Yeah.
So games that kick off before 6 p.m., BYU is 14-13. So
wow.
Not great. And then games that kick off at 6 or after, they are 26-3.
Man, that is incredible. BYU is great in that fourth time zone, that fourth window. They're outstanding. I mean, you give a BYU an 8-15 game, mark it down, it's going to be a win. I just feel like, too, a big thing for that, this always sits with me. I remember back in 2017, it was Kalani's second year. Remember, Broncos teams practiced in the morning. They kind of did more of an NFL style where they would practice early in the day, and then they'd have their evening to themselves, go class, study, all that sort of thing. Kalani in 2017, he continued it in 2016, and then 17, he changed it because he felt like he was seeing some issues in practice where they weren't playing great because a lot of guys stayed up late, they played video games, they did their sort of thing where, like, they're college students still. Like, they have lives away from football. They're going to naturally stay up late. So that's why they switched the schedules for practices and whatnot to a more evening schedule. I feel like that's always kind of been like who Kalani's teams are. They're just a night team, and it's a strange thing. I remember when it was Lavelle, BYU was great in day games, but they were not good at night. They could never win night games, and so that's why BYU typically always played high noon in Provo. But it's interesting numbers, and even some of the players like Isaac Rex, who you can hear that full interview on the Cougar Sports Saturday podcast feed on all podcasting platforms. He even said it's becoming a stigma with this BYU team. We're getting a few tweets coming in on X. Again, you can follow me on X, @Mitch_Harper, also @KSLSports, @NateSlack5, and also Matt Biamonte, Biamonte Matt on X. He'll be back next week. He just had some previous priors, as I like to say, to attend to. We asked the question, Nate, what's BYU's record going to be in the remaining 7 games of this football season? Big-time BYU booster and fan Casey Adams. I like the take here. 7-0. Casey,
I, like
I love it. I want to get on board, man. But let me ask you this, Nate. If BYU did the unthinkable and went 7-0 the rest of the way, that'd be an 11-1. And I know people hearing this are saying, guys, get off your blue goggle high horse here. But if they did that, is BYU playoff bound?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm just saying.
They have to be,
they,
right?
They have to be, right? Or they'd at least be in the Big 12 title game. Yes, we know that. But they'd have to be playoff bound, right?
They would have to be because it'd be essentially 3 top 10 wins, assuming that Oklahoma and Texas don't drop games down the road and BYU would play one of them again in the championship. But yeah, for sure.
The X handle for this user does not check out for their prediction rating. BYU Freak tweets out, I would have thought he would say 7-0. BYU Freak on X, he's saying 3-4. So a little bit more humble view. That's kind of where I sit on it, because I'm not ready to say Oklahoma or Texas is a win yet. I do agree with you, Nate, that Oklahoma could be a game with senior day, blankets, high emotions. BYU hasn't had a senior day that mattered in, what, a decade? That's going to be off the charts. So I'm excited about that. But I'm still saying 3-4. We got to get out to the phone line and welcome in, you know, because in Cougar Nation, we always bring in the callers. We want you, the fan, to always be involved. And actually, this guy is no fan. He's a member of Team White. He's Matt Biamonte. I believe he's on. Is Matt, are you on the line? Matt is not on the line. Okay. He must have pranked us then.
He got us good.
He got us good. He was going to call in. Okay. But I'm saying 3-4 the rest of the way, Nate. What about you?
I'm going to go 4-3. I like it. Okay. I'm going to stick with 4-3. I think that especially I was going to go probably 3-4, but learning about the TCU quarterback situation makes me feel a little more optimistic about this week. And then I think BYU has favorable matchups with Iowa State. West Virginia is actually one of the three hardest games for the rest of the year. I would say West Virginia, Texas, and Oklahoma are the most difficult. But I think we got Matt on the line again.
I'm back, guys. I'm sad I'm missing Cougar Nation. Always a great time.
Matt, what's on your mind, man? How you doing?
My knees are hurting, Mitch, from the media madness. How are you feeling after cooling down?
Oh, these bad boys look like a scene from Winning Time. I got like two just heavy ice packs on my knees right now here at the Marriott Center Annex, just holding it down. I'm getting iced up big time, man.
Did you hit the cold tub with the players after that?
I think I might hit up that cryo chamber. I might be hopping in
you
on
should.
That, but Richie Saunders said that no dice, man, not for the media. We'll let you play on the court, but not the cryo chamber.
That's great. That was a good time, though. It was a lot of fun with BYU basketball. It's getting close. I can't believe hoops, but it's fun to have football back too. Now that the bye week is in the rearview mirror.
That it is, and I think that, you know, Matt, our question today on Cougar Nation, what's BYU's record going to be in the final seven games of the season? What say you?
I think 3-4 is fair. I like the Texas Tech game at home. This TCU game next Saturday is certainly winnable. I don't think Oklahoma State's great, and I think BYU under Kalani has always been good for one upset win. So I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe it's Texas. I don't know. But 3-4 seems reasonable in any kind of a bowl game.
I love it, Matt. Get back to the work you got to do. Appreciate you calling. I know you'll be back on the airwaves with us next week, and we'll talk this weekend for extended pregame at 11 a.m.
Looking forward to it. Take care, guys.
That's Matt Biamonte, my co-host here on Cougar Nation. Just had some previous priors to attend to in his broadcasting world. Matt's a talented guy. He's holding it down with volleyball broadcasts as well. He does a lot of different things in the broadcasting world, and including being with us here on Cougar Nation. But as we put a bow on the show today, again, big thanks to Blue Barn Wealth for sponsoring Cougar Nation. If you miss any part of the program, you can subscribe to our podcast on kslsports.com and wherever you get your podcast. Some big questions, I think, for me coming into this game will be for BYU and TCU, will be some of the intriguing position battles to watch. You know, Kalani did note in the bye week that they allowed some competition to happen. And I think that there could be some windows for, you know, some shuffling of the personnel if deemed fit. I mean, I thought someone like a John Nilsen played great against Cincinnati. I think that might be a spot to potentially watch, maybe pair him up with Jackson Cravens, who's been excellent this season for BYU. So some underlying storylines, but I think this is a big game. It's life in the Big 12. BYU is going to really feel it, and we'll have you all covered here on Cougar Nation throughout the season. So good night. Talk to you on Saturday from Fort Worth for extended pregame.